It's so nice to see the church full. And the singing was good. Thank you, song leaders. Thank you for getting in and singing together. And that's what worship is about, right? To start the day and invite the Spirit in and to change our hearts and to soften our hearts. So thank you so much for that. And welcome to Indy. I see quite a few visitors today, and so that's wonderful too. Nice to have you here. I'm going to introduce the brothers on the pulpit. And I feel like I really know them, and maybe you don't yet, but this is Michael Snyder, his wife Jody from Junction, Ohio. We have a lot of good ties, and you're celebrating a birthday. I won't tell them how many, but their family gathered. I think they're at Peter and Penny's house and celebrating. And then Lynn and I got to stay with James and his wife Tanya out in Silverton, Oregon was it a year ago or so? And how long have you been in the ministry?
4 weeks.
4 weeks. He's a good brother, too. So, Brother Michael's going to preach this morning. Brother James will finish up. And we look forward to the Word of God. So, be prayerful and let's worship together.
Well, good morning. Greetings to each one this morning. I'm going to take it a little step further than what Brother Ken did. I think the singing this morning was wonderful, not just good. It draws our hearts and our minds together, and it prepares us for the spirit of worship. And we read in God's Word that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So I appreciate the song selection this morning. We read, "O worship the King, all glorious above." And at the very end of that song, the last verse that we sang, it says, "Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend." And we know for each one of us here, it is true, He is our Maker. We are created in the likeness and image of God. And He defends us in many ways and protects us. But it's our prayer that it doesn't stop at Maker and Defender, but it goes on and He becomes our Redeemer and our Friend. And then we love to tell the story because we know it's true. Brother Ken asked for prayers this morning. We need your prayers. When we come into God's house, it is our prayer that His Spirit is here, that His Spirit inspires and does the teaching, and that we worship Him and give Him thanks. The Bible is open here in the Old Testament to Psalms chapter 144. The book of Psalms 144. We'll begin reading at the first verse. "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and He in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that Thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that Thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow Thy heavens, O Lord, and come down, touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them, shoot out Thine arrows and destroy them. Send Thine hand from above, rid me, and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto Thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings, while I sing praises unto Thee. It is He that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, and that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. As we read this psalm this morning, my thoughts went to hymn number 145 in our Zion's Harp, Our Happy Lot. So let's open that together. I'll read verses 5 and 6, and the leading brothers can lead as they feel moved. O Lord of goodness, so amazing, not one is worthy, no, not one. We stand in shame and wonder, gazing at wondrous things which thou hast done. Thy crowning grace and precious blood have reconciled us with our God. We feel quite certain of obtaining nothing but goodness from thy hand, and wend our way without complaining through dreary midst and barren land, with heaven in view, where we shall be joined through eternity to thee. Sing number 145.
Our body is
seek the Lord in prayer this morning. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we read thy word this morning, as we sing about this rich heritage and happy lot that we find to be our lot this morning, we must echo the words of the psalmist that said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him? Who are we? And why hast thou loved us and reached out with compassion and mercy and patience and love and drawn us to thee?" We sing in one of our songs, "Can we our imperfections see without a humble sigh? Can we neglect God's precious word and lightly pass it by? We've read that there was no form of beauty in us, but that we were sinners and condemned and fallen before thee, our great God, our Maker. And we had, like sheep, gone astray, and yet thou hast returned us unto the chief shepherd and bishop of our souls, the good shepherd of Jesus Christ, for which we praise thy name and thank thee for thy love in sending thine only begotten Son. And Lord Jesus, for that love that surpasseth all other love that we can read, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." And so we thank thee, Jesus, for thy humble birth, for thy humble life, and yet we know that thou wast clothed in glory and righteousness and holiness and perfectness. And we thank thee for thy perfect example of submission and obedience to the Father. And we thank thee for leaving the 99 sheep that were safe in the fold and going out and seeking those of us who were bleeding out in the wilderness and lost and confused. We thank thee that thy love has drawn us back to the fold, and that many here this morning can come and worship thee for the gift of salvation. And yet we believe that there are with us this morning those who have not answered thy call, but continue to walk in the hardness of their heart and in pride and in selfishness. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that thou would break them. Thou would convict them of that sin, that thou would reveal to them that sin will never stand before a holy God, and thou will remind them that we will all stand in judgment someday before thy throne and give an account of what we have done. And may it be that we can stand not on our own righteousness, but we can stand clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we know it's for that purpose that thou did come here and give thy life. We come to worship thee this morning. We come to lift up thy name. We come to be fed and instructed from thy word. And we pray that thou would fulfill thy promise that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, there would thou be in the midst of them. That as thou did take the bread and the fish and did bless it and break it amongst 4,000 and 5,000 and amongst the two that were on the way to Emmaus, that thou would come this morning and break the bread of life, the word which was made flesh and dwelt among men, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Speak grace and truth into our hearts today, and help us to have our hearts open and our ears open, that we might be attentive to thy word, and that we would not only be hearers of thy word, dear Father, but that we would allow thy word to be mixed with faith and with faithfulness, and that we would obey thy word and live it out in our lives. Bless each one that's gathered here. Meet the needs of those that are going through difficult valleys, trials, and temptations. We thank thee for thy grace. We thank thee for thy strength. Those who call upon thy name, we pray that thou would hear from heaven and provide thy comfort, thy power, and thy presence. And we beseech thee for thy presence this morning through Jesus' name. Amen. The psalm ended up and said, happy is the people, is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And it just reminded me of the first psalm where you can read about the child of God who doesn't walk in the way of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Happy is that people whose mind is fixed upon their God, who talk about him one with another and encourage each other, who lift up and edify the body of Christ, who love to go to his word and read it and meditate thereon. You know, when Joshua was commissioned to take over the leadership of the children of Israel, when they went into the land of Canaan, God encouraged him, and he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon it both day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And so we're reminded again this morning that if we want to go to a fountain of pure wisdom and counsel, we come to the word of the Lord. We come to the source of eternal wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And it's our privilege to do that. It's our privilege to be here this morning. As we read this chapter, as we sang that song, our lot is found in happy places. Does it overwhelm us? Do we feel how undeserving we are? And are we thankful? Do we give praise? Does the fruit of praise come from our lips? Can the world see our love for he who has redeemed us? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another. Is our love abounding? Jesus said, upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, and all thy mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Is that love in our life? I open here in the New Testament to St. Luke chapter 6. And the subheading that met my eyes was the law of love. So let's turn to St. Luke chapter 6 and begin reading at verse 27. We're picking up here in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, in the middle of what we would call the Beatitudes. And Jesus, and I'm so thankful for this, when we read in the Word, it says, Jesus began to teach and to preach. And we believe that to be true. That what he taught, what he preached, he lived out in his life, and we can observe it, and we can pattern our lives after him, and we can become disciples of Jesus. Those who adhere to his teachings and follow after his ways, then truly we can be called a Christian. We don't want to be, as we sing in our song, a nominal Christian, a Christian in name only, but we want to be a Christian in deed and in truth. So let's begin reading here at verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, and do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? for sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine eye, own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Let's stop reading there at verse 45. So we find what we might say in our human flesh a very challenging scripture that we've read this morning, that we are to love our enemies and to do good to them that hate us. And we find that that is not what is natural within us. No, we like to get revenge. We like to pay back. But God says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." So the question is, how can we, as human flesh, fulfill the commandments of the Lord? And it's very clear in God's Word that we can't of ourselves. But there has to be a regeneration. And that which is degenerate or corruptible must put on incorruption. And we must be born again out of water and spirit, and be made in the likeness of Christ. We must put on a new nature and follow after charity with all mankind. And as we said before, we're thankful that this was the example that was modeled for us and patterned by our Lord and Savior. And we can read here, "Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?" Beloved brothers and sisters, we're thankful today that we are not led by one who is blind, but we are led by one who has their eyes completely opened and fully understands why he asks us to do what he asks us to do. If we do these things, happy are ye, the Bible tells us, if ye do them. Love your enemies. Pray for them which despitefully use you. In Romans chapter 12, it says, "If thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head." And then it says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And we find that that's the example that Jesus set for us. When he was wrongfully entreated, when he was falsely accused, when he was hung on the cross, when he was accused, and the people came by and said, "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross and we shall believe." And he knew that in doing so, he would thwart God's perfect plan. He was there to be a sacrifice. And they mocked and reviled him. It says, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. As a lamb led to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. And he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is that the heart that we have as we observe those who walk waywardly in the world and maybe treat us unkindly? Do we pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, open their understanding. It says the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be patient towards all men, apt to teach, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, lest peradventure God would give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. God is our perfect example. Jesus is our perfect example. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. We can read that I would that all men would pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Pray for kings, pray for rulers, pray for all that are in authority. Are our knees worn out from praying? I can say with shame that I don't spend enough time in prayer. But again, Jesus was our example. He got up early in the morning. He went out into a quiet place. He spent the night in prayer to his Father. He realized the strength and the courage that he needed, the strength and the courage that we need, that we can fulfill the commission of the Lord to do good unto all mankind. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Where is our treasure? Are we laying up treasure in heaven like the Bible asks us to do? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Or is our treasure upon the things, the abundance of the things that we possess in this life? We think of the example of Jesus, who was the King of Kings, and when they said, Master, where dwellest thou? He said, foxes have nests, or birds have nests, and foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. This was one who was royalty, who should have been in a palace from the mindset of this world. And yet, those things didn't mean anything to him. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul. He said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness of the law, but the righteousness which is of faith in Christ Jesus. Do we count all things but loss that we may win Christ? And it also says that we would be willing not only to be partakers of the power of his resurrection, but the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The Bible tells us if we are buffeted for our own faults, what thank have we? But if for the name of Jesus Christ we are willing to suffer, we will be blessed. And we should rejoice as the apostles that we are willing and counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye to them likewise. You know, we talk about the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And whenever we look and we see wisdom in society, when we see nuggets of truth, we can trace them right back to the Word of God. I'm going to go back to the scripture in Romans chapter 12, where it talks about feeding our enemy when he's hungry and giving him to drink when he's thirsty. And it says, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. And we may think of that and say, well, heaping coals of fire upon the head of our enemy would be for destruction. But I don't think that's true. If you think about fires, there are different sources that you can use to fuel a fire. You can use wood. You can use paper. You can use gas. You can use coal. And if my understanding is correct, and I may not be correct here, but this was the way the children of Israel operated. They would keep a coal of fire burning at all times so that they could have to start a fire and to cook. And I've been told that if you want a source of fire to be even and to burn steady and to endure, you're going to use coal. And so I think what the apostle is trying to say there is that when we do good to all mankind, when we love our enemies, we're going to light an eternal flame of fire within their hearts that's going to persist. We can read, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Likewise, when our lives are the salt of the earth, when we're the light of the world, we will have an impact on the lives of others. They will see Christ living within us as lives the flower or the cone within the tree. Or you get my point. Christ lives within us, and we bring forth fruits of righteousness. Like it says here, by your fruits you shall be known. What is within us will come out of us, because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So we need to fill our lives with good things that the world can see Christ in us. And we're reminded of that when that man swept and garnished his heart. But he didn't fill it with good things. And it said, then there returned seven more devils, more wicked than the first. And the last state of that man was worse than the first. And we can read about the dog returning to its vomit and the sow to its wallowing in the mire. But that's not true of children of God. When we come out from the world and when we're sanctified and renewed in Christ Jesus, we fill our hearts and our lives with good things. As the Apostle Paul said, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is honest, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Christ has elevated the bar for us. We can read in the Old Testament, it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But Christ raised the bar and said, don't get even, love. Don't get even, serve. Don't get even, commit your way unto me and do as I have done to you. We can think about that beautiful account when Jesus Christ was about to be crucified and he was in the upper room and sharing special time with his disciples. And it says, supper being now ended, he laid aside his garments and girded them with a towel and served them. He washed the disciples' feet, knowing full well that one of the disciples there was going to betray him. He said, you are not all clean. There's one here who is going to betray me for 30 pieces of silver. And yet he washed the disciples' feet. And when he got done, he said, know ye not what I have done to you? I am your Lord and Master. If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, so ought ye also to wash one another's feet. As I have done unto you, so do ye also to others. Not the love that the world proclaims, like we can read here. Sinners love sinners. They're willing to treat those well who will treat them well. They're willing to give, hoping for something back in return. We had a minister in Junction recently, and he said in a Bible study, someone called that Pharisee love. The love of the Pharisees. They were able to show that love. But then we're reminded that Jesus says, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no way enter into the kingdom of God. That love is not enough. It has to go beyond. It has to be motivated. Our love must be motivated by true charity, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Self-sacrificing love. Love that vaunteth not itself, is not easily puffed up, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. That's the love that God wants in our lives. It's always sobering to me. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, if I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So let's think about what motivates us to do what we do. And how can we do what we do? Is it not because we have experienced mercy? We have experienced forgiveness. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also in heaven is merciful. That's what we're taught. We know we needed mercy. We needed patience. We needed forbearance. Why won't we then show it to others? One of the songs in our hymn book says, can we have our hearts in heaven and yet earthly minded live? Can we who have been forgiven not forgive, forget and not forgive? Can we hate an erring brother, only love when we are loved, and not deal with one another by Christ's Holy Spirit moved? No. No hater nor blasphemer, none who slander or defame, shall be one with the Redeemer who was gentle as a lamb. That's the love that we are to have, the love of our Savior. And I'm also thankful as we read about mercy. You know, it tells us in James, he shall have mercy or judgment without mercy who hath showed no mercy. And then it says, but mercy rejoiceth against judgment. And I think all of us that are here today who have experienced the love of Christ in our lives, who have been called and been redeemed, we can say mercy rejoiceth against judgment. If we were to receive what we rightfully deserved, we would not be here today. We would have no hope. We would be condemned eternally. But the mercy and the love of our Savior found us when we were yet in sin. And oh, how mercy rejoices against judgment. Let's be merciful. Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I think it's very clear in the Word of God that as we treat others, that's how we treat Christ. It tells us, if you cannot love your brother, whom you can see, how can you love God whom you can't see? So in faith, when we reach out, when we give a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord, we are doing it as unto Christ. We can remember when the judgment day came and people stood before the Father and he said, I was naked and you clothed me, I was hungry and you fed me, I was in prison and you visited me, sick, and you came to me. And they said, Lord, when saw we thee naked and hungry and clothed thee and visited thee? And he said, inasmuch as ye have done it unto these, the least of my servants, ye have done it unto me. So, what's the testimony of our life? How are we treating our family at home, our spouse, our children? How are we treating our coworkers? How are we treating those in the community? And how does it go, especially when we're frustrated and we're in a hurry and we get stuck in a long line or stopped at a stoplight or behind a slow-moving vehicle? What comes out of our hearts? Is it patience? Is it love? And then we're reminded here in this scripture that love goes deep. Love is not willing only to treat others right, but also to treat them as they don't deserve. But love is also willing to point out faults. And yet it is done in a kind way, and it is done in a very careful way. We are told, and how easy it is for us to look around and see faults in others. And maybe we don't do a very good job looking into the mirror of God's Word and seeing faults in ourselves. But we're instructed here, when we see a need, when we see a mote that is our brother's eye, it doesn't tell us, don't go and talk to thy brother. It doesn't tell us that. It tells us first in Matthew that we should examine our own hearts. And we should look and see, do we have a beam in our own eye that needs to be removed before we go and ask our brother to consider the mote that is in their eye? Just think of the damage that we can do if we go to our brother and point out a small fault when there is a glaring omission in our life of holding fast to the truth. You know, we don't read too often that Jesus Christ expressed anger. But when he did, it was to the hypocrites, to the Pharisees, to those who liked to make broad their phylacteries. And he said, outwardly, you're like unto sepulchres, but inwardly you're full of dead men's bones. God asks us to be full of life from within, to be cleansed from within, to bring forth that good fruit that he asks of us. And then we can go in meekness and in love and concern to our brother, and we can share with them our concern. And the Bible tells us, if he hears you, you have gained your brother. What a blessing that we can all be drawn to just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, may it be daily walking close to thee. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. We're thankful that we can be gathered together today in God's house, and that we can be filled with the truth of his word. But let's allow it to impact our lives. There's a song that says, once more we come God's word to hear, the word so pure and holy. Now give us, Lord, a listening ear, a spirit meek and lowly. For if we hear and heed it not, we hear to condemnation. For doers of God's word, we're taught, of our heirs of Christ's salvation. So let's mix that faith, and let's bring forth works of righteousness that show that we have a living faith. And let's bring glory to our Father by doing what he asks us to do, and doing what he has patterned for us, and following after him.
You know, I'm thankful for the Word. Sometimes when we open the Word, we know that it's there to reprove, rebuke, and encourage us, and exhort us. And when we listen, and we listen to the heart of God, sometimes I have to step back and go, how can I have a heart of God? How can I truly have, when it talks about being merciful, it talks about loving those who don't love you, condemning those, not condemning those who might be condemning you. How can we have that heart of God? And I've thought about this many times in my life, and there's been something coming to my heart over the last few weeks. And I think God and Jesus in the Word, he talks in parables a lot of times. Sometimes the Word can overwhelm us, and it's hard to actually understand. But when we get down to a parable and put it into real life practice, we can understand the heart of God. Who has someone they have shared life with? through many trials and temptations. I know I can say I have. One of them sitting in this congregation today. It's a friend. And when we think of a friend, and we take away God for just a second, think about the heart of a true friend. As we walk through life together and you experience life together, sometimes you experience things that aren't good. Sometimes you experience wonderful times together. You know, I'm a little tired today. And the reason I'm a little tired today is because over the last few days, we've stayed up late, sharing times together, sharing about the past, sharing about the good times and the bad times. But there's a verse in the scripture that says, as iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. Today, as we read the word and we think about what God is telling us, God and Jesus want to be our friend. Our friend loves us. Our friend is merciful to us. Our friend does tell us our faults. Iron sharpening iron is not always good or easy to take. And there's even another verse in Scripture where it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kiss of the sinful is deceitful. So I think sometimes when we open the Word of God, it's easy to look at the heart of God and say, how is we as fallible man who live in a fallen world, how can we love as Jesus loved? How can we keep that fire burning that Michael talked about? Having those coals burning that even those who don't know Christ can see Christ and be attracted to the heart of Christ. But I don't think we have to think too hard. If we just look at the heart of a true friend in life, we can see the heart of God. And so I think as we talk about that today, I guess my thoughts go to, there's a song, 161 in our Zion's harp, or in our hymns of Zion. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus. When we sing that song, think about what Jesus is to us today. We can take our temptations to Him. We can take our griefs to Him, our cares, our faults. You know, and Michael talked a little bit about wearing out our knees in prayer. I guess I had to think about that a little bit in light of being tired over the last couple of days. Was it hard to stay up and talk to a friend? Was it hard to share our faults and the things that we had done over the last 25 years that maybe really we were running away from God and yet we can see the heart of God? Was that hard for us to do? Not at all. And I think the scriptures tell us today when we sing that song 161, the heart of Jesus wants us to wear out the hours of the day with Him. We can do that. It doesn't have to be an earthly friend, but it could be, and I think there we see the heart. But wear out our knees in prayer. Tell Him our cares. If we wake up in the middle of the night, we still have a friend, and He's right beside us, and He wants to hear what's on our heart. Let's be that thankful and that loving, because I know, I believe, through the friendships we have in life, we absolutely get a glimpse to the heart of God. And we can share that with a world that's desperately in need of it. You know, and I think the last thing would be this. We think about those coals of fire, and Michael talked about them in the sense that they left them burning because that was something that they knew they needed to be ready at any time. Christ's love and our love should be burning at all times, no matter who's in our life and no matter how they're treating us. Because if that light is always burning, I can tell you in a world right now where the light is dim, the light burns brightest in a dark spot. The darkest of nights are lit up by the smallest of light. Let's be that light that someone else is attracted to Christ. He can see the heart of Christ. We can become a friend to them, and they too can find the love of Christ. Maybe we can sing in closing hymn 161 out of the Hymns of Zion.
Oh, we'd ask a brother to close our morning service in prayer, and please include the lunch meal.
Dear Heavenly Father, with great thankfulness we come before you to first give you praise and glory with our stammering lips, to thank you for this new day, for the good health that we've had here to sit under the sound of your word and listen to it in clarity, and to be reminded of how great you are, how much and how much you've given for us, and how dear Jesus means to each one of us who have been redeemed. So we just pour out our thanks and praise for this day and acknowledge our weakness, our own we could this morning truly identify with with not having the mercy and love and compassion to those who maybe we the rub us the wrong way, or that it was all a lot about how much mercy we need to have, but to reflect them on how much mercy and grace you pour out unto us. It's not about us, Father. We so learn that, we're reminded that it's all about Jesus, and it's all about what his sacrificial love by being willing to pay the price for our sins, for to take that wrath of you upon him. So we just are in awe of that mercy. So help us each day to rightfully divide, apply this word of truth, and to be that light as we just were pricked to be, and what a calling we have in this world. As we look around in a bigger, larger sense, we see how dark the world is. We pray for our country to turn, and to turn back to that God of Jacob and that God of David that we read about today, that is longing to receive, just as a prodigal, as father receives a prodigal son. So Father, we pray that your calling would continue to go. Call those who have not repented. Call those who have strayed away. Call and don't stop calling, because we have to have that calling to even be able to know you as our Savior. So thankful for this, for church that we've had been, and the love that we feel from the brethren here. Blessed it in its we've seen how you've blessed it. May you continue to bless the ministers and the teaching here in the, across this pulpit, but more in this community, that it can thrive, and just in a larger sense, this nation, and just pray that the gospel yet still would be preached in this community. That just thank you for the love that. The food that's prepared, bless it, that it would strengthen and nourish our bodies. And those behind the scenes have made this possible. We just thank you, most of all, once again, for salvation. And we pray these things through Jesus' name. Amen.